Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I quote Finding Nemo all the time, and I haven't even watched it in the past like 3 years.
It's a baby penguin caught in an iceberg.
I think we all know where that's from.
Hi, I'm Rachel Hampton.
And I'm Madison Malone Kircher. You're listening to ICYMI.
In case you missed it.
Slate's podcast about internet culture. We're going to kick things off today with a DM we got from a listener that I simply cannot ignore. Rachel, I'm sorry in advance.
Oh God, I don't want to know what's coming.
MJ writes, I just want y'all to know that I fully support Madison rapping the Naked Mole Rat song.
Of course now pulled this one out. Of course you pulled this fucking DM out. Anyway, keep going.
It is my prerogative. It is my right as a host. MJ goes on to say, now it's up to Rachel to keep up with the singing of a nostalgic banger of her own. Can you hang? Cast it or it didn't happen.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize that we were throwing down challenges in the DMs now. I thought that the DMs were for us to get fun little TikToks and ideas for the show.
I would say this is a fun little idea for the show.
I feel like I said so many times on the show that I am not musically inclined.
I don't care, Rachel. The people have asked.
Wait, no, I have to think about a nostalgic banger. I have to think about it.
You don't have to think that hard. I already know what you're going to pick.
You don't know anything about me.
I got slacks. I got text messages. I got Instagram DMs that would counter that statement.
Those are not admissible in a court of podcast. All right, here we go. I feel like if you don't recognize the song, then we can't hang. MJ, I hope you know the song, because otherwise it's all for naught. Madison, I have a question.
Yeah? What's up?
What would you do if your son was at home crying alone on his bedroom floor because he's hungry and the only way to feed him is to sleep with the man for a little bit of money and his daddy's gone somewhere smoking rock now, in and out of lockdown? I ain't got a job now. To you, this is just a bit of fun, but to me, this is what I call life.
Really loaded question. Also, I knew you were going to pick that.
What would you do if your son was at home kind of alone on a bed? That's all you're getting that's actually like in the key, and it's not in the key. I know it's not, so don't correct me.
I feel like I need to mention that being friends with you for the last 6 weeks has meant on multiple occasions you have texted me, Madison, I have a question. And I in earnest have been like, yes, Rachel, what's up? How can I help you? And then you proceed to type those lyrics. So MJ, welcome to my pain.
Welcome to Madison's pain. Welcome to my roommate's pain. This is my whole personality.
Get off the internet.
For those who are unaware, that song is called What Would You Do by City High, and it came out in 1999. I am unsure as to why this was the song that they decided to release, but so much of my childhood was just small children yelling, somewhere smoking rock now, in and out of lockdown. Like,
we will unpack that at a later date. We talk a lot here on ICYMI about how we are online too much, and well, if that anecdote didn't display this, how it might be affecting our brains. And today, we're going to talk about that some more.
Over the course of the pandemic, which newsflash we're still in case you somehow forgot, a not insignificant number of young girls and women started appearing to develop tick-like behaviors and documenting them on TikTok. And just to be clear, that is T-I-C, tick, and T-I-K, TikTok.
It's not confusing at all.
Not at all.
The tics range from saying things like the word beans to more violent and potentially harmful tendencies like shouting or collapsing. And interestingly, they seem to be happening predominantly to young women.
So I developed a new tick where I just go around asking, what the fuck? I just go around asking people if they like children. And whether they respond yes or no, my tics always respond by saying, pedophile. Oh my God, it's a dog.
What's even more interesting is that it appears that watching these TikToks of young women displaying their tics might even play a role in viewers developing them. And being stuck at home during COVID without any of the kind of traditional social interactions that teens usually have probably hasn't helped.
Researchers and scientists are just starting to look into all of this, into the question of how and why so many young women seemingly develop these tic-like behaviors while stuck at home experiencing life on screens instead of, you know, in real life, outside.
Touching grass. Today on the show, we're going to be talking with Maddie Bender, a science journalist who's been covering the story in depth for months. She wrote a piece earlier this fall for Vice about the medical mystery of it all and how TikTok might be both the problem and the solution.
Common theme around these parts. Ultimately, this is about answering one big question. How do you help someone when you know something is really wrong, but science just doesn't have an answer yet? And maybe TikTok does.
We'll be back with Maddie after the break.
And maybe we can bully Rachel into singing some more. So for you, this is just a good time, but for me, this is what I
call life. The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Trust me, you've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore? Something this audacious and sexy as is genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now, getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So, just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And we're back with Maddie Bender, a science journalist. We're so excited you're here. You wrote this incredible piece about the phenomena of TikTok with tic spelled T-I-C.
Thank you so much for having me. I realize it's kind of difficult to get the written out pun in audio form when they're both pronounced ticks.
We also never miss the opportunity to pun on this show, much to Rachel's dismay. So a great day for me. To kick things off, Maddie, when did you first come across TikTok?
So I came across this subculture in two different ways. Like first, as in more of a personal sphere, I'm a youth. I'm on TikTok. I consider myself Gen Z. And during the pandemic, I really fell into watching a lot of videos. People with tics, people with Tourette's.
A recent tic that I've developed. Shush, you're distracting me. That one. I'm thinking about it, so I do it. It's really ironic because I'm usually the one distracting other people, but my tics are telling them to stop distracting me. Pepper, you must take off your boots. I have loads of Peppa Pig tics and a lot of TikTok Peppa Pig tics.
Fast forward to about August or September of this year, I'd say, my editor at Vice, which is a place I've freelanced for a couple years, sent me a study with the subject line, "What is going on here?" No punctuation. And it was one of the first ones to really talk about this subculture and specifically this phenomenon of younger girls and young women experiencing rapid onset tic-like behaviors, potentially due to social media.
Before we get into the nuance, could you describe like a classic TikTok video for people who maybe aren't as familiar or perhaps are not youths themselves? We can't all be spry. just to give people a little bit of a better sense.
Yeah. So a trend that maybe some people, if they're extremely online, might have seen is this one around a year ago of baking with Tourette's. And it was folks who had Tourette's syndrome and they were baking. And hilarity would ensue because, of course, their tics would cause them to, in some instances, put the batter upside down on their head. And it was all this big joke that they were a part of, really to spread awareness about their condition.
I'm a serial killer. I'm being really lovely and making peckish brownies. Step one, prep the bum. Help. Christ, Grummy!
Down.
Ah! Oh my god!
He just slammed egg.
I'm so sorry.
So there have been videos like that, and then there have also been sort of more serious, darker videos where, in some cases, those same creators making those lighthearted baking with tics or compilations of interesting tics or tic behaviors they've developed are talking about the more harmful effects, which sometimes tics can be violent. Creators would show up with bruises in videos, and some of them would even provide their own content warnings that, of course, like TikTok isn't going to regulate this, but because people with tic disorders can catch tics, it could be a potentially gnarly scenario to see a more violent tic and then to start to mimic it.
So you get your hands on this study, and then what? What do you start to discover?
Initially, my editor didn't think it was real, and I wasn't even sure it was real because it was phrased in a very attention-grabbing way. And it made this very strong assertion that there is a link between social media and developing tics and tic-like behaviors. And also it used this phrase, mass sociogenic illness, which has a long and storied history of being used as a way to disparage people's real experiences with things. It used to be known as mass hysteria. And that's
that
a loaded
old chestnut.
Term. Exactly, to say the least. But I did some digging. I spoke to researchers and I read the studies that had come out at that period. And it really did seem like something was going on in that people, young girls and women, seemed to be watching, in some cases, these very popular videos that had millions of views of creators with Tourette's discussing their tics, and then later in time seemed to develop tic-like behaviors of their own that in many instances matched the tics that they were seeing on a platform like TikTok.
Have my tics ever hurt your feelings?
Yes.
No, they haven't, because I know she doesn't really mean to do it, and if she hits me, it's not even that hard, so it doesn't hurt.
And additionally, their tics were more complex and more severe. And so what that means is that traditionally Tourette tics are blinking, nose wrinkling, and the kinds of tic-like behaviors people at movement disorder clinics were seeing from these patients were much more complicated. They were full words, vocalizations. One that a lot of people have talked about is the "duh" from Billie Eilish's "Bad Guy."
Duh.
Another I heard was just saying the word "beans" uncontrollably.
Beans. Shit. Beans. No, go away. Bean. Bean. Beans. No.
I wanted to ask about beans, actually, because there is a TikTok from a young woman who says that she really doesn't want to pick up this beans tick. She doesn't want this to be, like, on the list of tick-like behaviors she has, does. And in the course of the TikTok, we appear to watch her develop it, like, almost manifesting it into reality. Is that how this disorder works? You mentioned these young women are picking them up by seeing them.
Yeah. So I come from a science background. I think a lot about things like mechanism, and we really don't know the mechanism. But it does seem like there is a connection between watching TikToks of people with tick disorders and then mimicking them almost subconsciously. And the important thing to emphasize is that these people aren't making this up. It's not in their head. They're not doing it for attention. And I spoke to several creators who said as much to me. And they're going through something that can be really troubling and traumatic. And even though it can be funny, and they readily admit it's funny to mimic a word like beans, that comes from somewhere deep in their brain chemistry. And the other thing about tick disorders is that they can have a genetic component, but often they're influenced by factors like environment and psychology and stress.
What a year.
The fact that someone... Yeah. I haven't been through stress recently, and I don't know
same.
Other young women who have.
Why would we be stressed about anything right now?
It makes sense, right? It's funny to laugh. And I think many of the creators I've watched, particularly beans, it's a funny word. Like, we were conditioned watching Even Stevens to think the word beans was funny. But as you mentioned, ticks know no bounds, tick-like behaviors, right? So that could just as easily be an explicit word, hate speech, something violent, right?
Exactly. And you need to remember that it continues outside of the 3-minute or 60-second or 10-second video that they post on TikTok, right? Like, this is their lives, and this affects how they socialize and how they behave in class. And I had people tell me that they would identify triggers like stress, exhaustion, and alcohol. And so one night you have to stay home because otherwise you might have a tick attack. And that's really scary.
I have no idea where that even came from. Also, sorry, my tics are so bad. Today, it's just like they've been really active for no reason. Oh, wow. I have one where I say beans. My tics just made me zoom in on my face. Okay, I have a new one where I say, would you suck my nuts? So, yeah, that's pretty nice. Anyways, have a die, beans.
I want to go back to something that you said previously about how this is primarily manifesting in young women and how it's kind of being seen as like a bit of mass hysteria event.
Yeah. I think first off, there's context for this. In the early 2010s, there was this pretty famous case out of New York that was written up in the New York Times Magazine about a town where young girls also experienced and started developing.
Oh, I read this. Yes.
Yeah, Leroy. And it was also kind of treated as this media sensation of people saying, this is a sociogenic illness, this is mass hysteria. It's almost uncanny how this cycle has repeated. In the context of the researchers I was talking to, and in the medical context, sociogenic illness is a real thing. I mean, in the comments section on some of these videos, like, people do discount their experiences. And I spoke with people for whom it was really harmful, and they stopped producing content about their tics because of the pushback they got when they said what they had probably wasn't Tourette's.
I actually wanted to talk about that because Tourette's is genetic, correct? There's a genetic component to Tourette's?
Yeah, there is a genetic component.
And there doesn't appear to be one per the developing research on TikTok-related behaviors. And so I'm curious if you spoke to anyone. That must be really hard, right? To think, perhaps I have this thing that the medical establishment understands to a degree, you know, can diagnose, can work with, and then be told, no, something is happening to you, but we have no idea what it is. Or how to help it.
Definitely. That was a really conserved experience of the people I talked to, because there are tried and true therapies for something like Tourette's in a way that this rapid onset disorder doesn't really seem to have a clear treatment plan. The researchers and clinicians I spoke to were hopeful that they could find a way to treat and maybe cure this, but nobody knows for sure. And at least one person I talked to basically said that she thinks she'll have this for the rest of her life and she just needs to learn how to manage it. But she also said something along the lines of, like, the stigma she gets from talking about her experience on TikTok is distinct from that of people with Tourette's, because it seems like the people who view her videos want to put everyone in a box of, like, either you have Tourette's or you're making it up. And so the fact that she has something distinct that she hasn't been able to get a clear diagnosis on is really tough.
Homies with Tourette's or, like, any other form of tics, I want you to tell me, wow, your least favorite tic that you have. Not because it's, like, bad or harmful, but just because it's, like, really stupid. Wow! I'll go first. I recently developed a tic where I make that face that's, like...
In the course of your reporting, was there anything you kind of found surprising in talking to creators on TikTok or even in talking to, like, experts and researchers on this?
I think I was most surprised by how willing people were to speak to me. I mean, the way I found a bunch of sources for the article I wrote was by going on TikTok, typing in hashtags and keywords, watching a lot of videos and finding creators who seemed to be vocal or on the other side, like, posted one or two videos about their tics and then never posted again. And through that, DMing them or finding their Instagram and DMing them on Instagram. And in virtually all of the cases where I reached out to someone, they got back to me and they were very enthusiastic about talking in a way that I hate to use the word brave, because I feel like we saddle people with that term for, like, just living life. But they really were, like, courageous and spoke up. And I feel really, like, honored that they would share their stories with me.
Maddie, is there something you feel like people often misunderstand about TikTok or about this larger story?
Yeah, I have, I mean, one big thing.
Some things.
And I think many a thing, but one in particular. And I feel like your podcast does a great job at getting to this misconstruction.
We're so brave.
No, I'm serious. And the way that you've talked about even, like, ex-Mormon stuff and the Gabby Petito case, that TikTok isn't just an app that people joke around on, that it's used to discuss serious issues. And even a video framed as a joke could be coming from a place of serious discussion. And it's really a way to get attuned to what people in Gen Z and even younger are thinking about and feeling. And so the researchers I spoke to said that what they're asking is not for people to get off social media, because that's not a realistic
possible
thing to ask. Yeah, it's not. Facebook was down for one day and, like, everything went wrong.
So you just mentioned that researchers aren't asking people to get off social media. What are they asking for in regards to this?
They're asking, honestly, for more data. They're asking for us to give them time to conduct studies that they need to see, for instance, to see if there's a genetic link here, because right now it's way too early to tell. Like, the biggest studies have only had a handful of people with these rapid onset tic disorders. And so it's too soon to say whether there's been some type of bias in the way that the people they're finding are perhaps more vocal or perhaps more female or perhaps older. All these things that they've identified as strong associations may in time turn out to not be as strong. And one other thing that I saw after my article ran was that someone commented on a link of it somewhere And she herself was a doctor and a researcher, and wanted to say that one of the main comparisons, the fact that these tic disorders seem to be appearing later in age than something like Tourette's, is based off of the fact that Tourette's usually presents in men. So like that that whole age is kind of biased by gender, and female presentation of a disease like Tourette's can look very different from the standard like DSM textbook definition of it.
Mm. Yeah, that reminds me of the way that ADHD is typically not diagnosed in young women because it presents so much differently than it does in men.
Another condition where TikTok is actually helping young women seek appropriate medical care.
Yeah, that is a really good point, that it's not all bad. In fact, it might not even mostly be bad. It might be a good thing that this subculture exists, because we don't know about cause and effect. There is potential that, like, they would have developed tic disorders anyway due to the stress of the pandemic or due to whatever else is going on. And so the fact that TikTok provides a community for them to ask questions and figure out what specialists to see and what resources to look for is really important.
Maddie, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I love that we landed in a place Rachel and I often land, which is TikTok, kind of good, kind of bad. We're just asking questions.
Moderate your platform.
Thanks so much again for having me. I had a great time. You both are the best.
Once again, that was science journalist Maddie Bender, and we will link her Vice piece about TikTok, that's TikTok, in the show notes. That's the show. We'll be back in your feed next Wednesday, so subscribe. It's free. The best way to make sure you never miss an episode, never miss a musical performance by either one of the hosts. We'll probably lay off those for a little while. We've been reading your emails. You can follow us on Twitter at @ICYMI_pod, which is where you can also DM us your questions, or if you're like Maddie and wrote a really interesting piece about an internet phenomenon, tag us. We might just have you on the show. You can also always drop us a note. Our email is icymi@slate.com.
ICYMI is produced by Daniel Schrader and Samira Tazari. Our supervising producer is Derek John. Forrest Wickman and Allegra Frank are our editors. And Alicia Montgomery is executive producer of Slate Podcast. See you online.
Or crying alone on the bedroom floor.
I listened to the episode this morning. Aww. True tragedy about that dog and lack of bones.
On Death, Sex, and Money, we feature interviews with you, our community of listeners, getting honest about uncomfortable things.
I developed an illness where it isn't safe for me to drive. A friend once said to me, "Sex is like air. You don't think about it until you're not getting enough." This is a similar sort of thing if you just replace sex with driving.
Listen to Death, Sex, and Money wherever you get podcasts.